Hey, Tara Strong here, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Will these infernal setbacks never end?
The revolution begins now.
Jazz here, and I'm jiving to this episode of Transformation Animation featuring Mike Blanchard, Stephen C. Phillips, and Michael Wilson.
You promised you wouldn't laugh!
Hello and welcome to episode 7 of Transformation Animation Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Jim and Mike, and joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Good day.
And Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going, and we kicked Optimus Solo back to Cybertron.
Don't let the door hit you.
With the good Lord split you.
Today we'll be starting season 2 of Transformers Animated. So what's going on with you, Steve?
Not Shiza.
Michael?
The same old. Oh, you know what? Actually, as long as we're talking about Transformers, something cool did happen to me today. Chrissy and I went to the Borders nearby. Then everything's marked down to 40% off.
Yeah.
And first thing, I found a copy of the Dark of the Moon book. And I thought maybe I'd pick that up since everyone was talking about how it differed from the movie. Secondly, on an end cap, marked down to 40% were all of the Reveal the Shield G1 homage toys. Like all those figures that weren't supposed to be anywhere, you know, that I thought I'd have to order online were at Borders, of all places.
Wow, that's weird.
All the Legends class toys, the little G1 Optimus and the G1 Megatron that transforms into a gun.
Yep.
Yeah, I was getting ready just to break down and buy those online, and I found them at a Borders. It was crazy. And wow. I came back with like 10 of them, and Chrissy's like, no. And I said, yes. So.
I'm surprised with Borders going out of business. I'm surprised you didn't look to pick up War for Cybertron, Exodus.
Oh, you know, I didn't see it. I actually found the Dark of the Moon novel by accident. I was kind of over there by the anime, and it was sitting somewhere, and I was like, oh, shit, I'm going to grab that. So, yeah, so I had a huge haul. Chrissy bought a whole bunch of books for the boys and a whole bunch of teaching resources. So she had a huge haul. I mean, we made 2 trips. 40% was not something we were gonna take lightly.
Yep.
So yeah, we spent altogether too much money at Borders. But, you know, they're not going to be there much longer.
Yeah, they're unfortunately not.
Yeah, they're starting to sell the fixtures. And I know Brad Blankenship was talking about buying fixtures there. not at mine, but at his, you know, where he lives. And I'm thinking, you know, it's $100 for a bookshelf. That's not bad.
And they're big.
And they're big. Yeah, they're like, you know, 6-foot tall bookshelves. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorely tempted to pick up a couple.
Where are you going to put them?
There's the problem.
Over the border.
I have no idea. I have nowhere to put them in my house. Definitely not in my office. I got no room in here. Not for a 6-foot tall bookshelf.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was my day.
Yeah, I'm currently in the process of packing everything up and moving again, so there's that.
Yay, good riddance. I mean,
even though
is that going to put you on top of the neighbors that make all the noise, or how's that going to
work? Yeah.
He's going to be below them.
I used to think all the bad neighbors were above me, but now they're going to be below me.
Starscream, this is bad comedy.
This is bad sodomy.
I was waiting for that.
Lubrication, oh, Starscream.
Oh my god. Alright, so
sodomy.
We got another Twitter message from Salem Blood because apparently the voicemail line wasn't working yet again. I figured out what the hell was wrong with that. I don't want to get into a rant about why it wasn't working. But she says, hello, hello, cast of Transformation Animation Podcast. I have three things for you this week. I already mentioned the voicemail line thing.
Join the voicemail.
She's, no. Number two, let me lay this out for you so there will not be any misunderstanding. And she's talking about all of the different Thundercats weapons.
Ooh.
Lion-O has the Sword of Omens. Tigra has his whip. Panthro has the nunchucks with open-away cat paws. Chitara has the bow staff. Wily Kit and Wily Cat have the bolas, ball bearings, and special capsules, which house several chemical spray compounds. Yeah, we kind of already knew that, but and it's not that I'm trying to discount her telling us this, but I could have sworn at some point in one of the first episodes of the original Thundercats series that Lion-O had a makeshift bola weapon at some point, but... either way, that's neither here nor there. Yeah. Number three, do you think Porter C. Powell proves to be the worst human character above the season one humans as far as the first three episodes of season two goes? Well, we'll find that out today. Once again, thank you for this sweet podcast. You guys are highly entertaining, so keep up the good work. P.S. Not to beat a dead horse, a Cybertronian teched out toilet? Really? You really, really, really never thought all this could exist without needing to be Cybertronian? I do not think everything in New Detroit are products of Sundack Systems. The key, like in Sam's Kitchen, second movie, transforms any tech it comes in contact with. No need for it to be all Cybertronian. I had been to a medical research lab for a mandatory employment drug test. In the little bathroom I was escorted to, after placing all of my belongings in a box, a lockable toilet with a lit red light, an off-green light, I guess, indicating it was locked, no water in the metal toilet at all, but... look, the walls inside, it looked like it uses the blue chemical stuff instead of water when flushed. No sink in the room either. I had to wash my hands in the sink next to the small restroom after giving the lab tech the filled sample cup. Then
take
I heard
no
her
chances.
Then I heard her flush the toilet while I was leaving. Makes me wonder if there was once a market for powdered instant clean piss to pass during drug tests. Just add water. This is where I saw Sari's toilet in real life. And yes, I totally passed the drug test.
Powdered
wow.
piss. That is awesome. I so like the way this person thinks.
Oh,
God. Just completely out of the box.
Okay. One of the huge issues with her saying that not everything in New Detroit is powered by Sumdac, it's pretty much stated. I mean, he pretty much, in the first season, it's pretty much stated 50 years later, New Detroit is the way it is because of him, his reverse engineering stuff.
Yeah, that's why it's New Detroit as opposed to Old Detroit.
Right, and I mean...
which is no longer here.
Part of it has to be there, because that's where the Autobots live.
No, that's true.
They live in the New Detroit
Autobotly
ghetto.
Part of town.
Oh, God.
The Autobot ghetto?
The Autobotly part of town.
Uh-oh. There goes the neighborhood. Autobots just moved in. Great.
But, I mean, they specifically said... you know, 50 years later and all these, you know, advances and everything else, the way that it's presented in the Transformer Rollout movie to me is that like Isaac Sumdac was, you know, the evolutionary of that city as far as his technology advancing all this stuff. So I don't know.
I'm willing to buy that. Sure.
I guess.
For a dollar.
Yeah, no. There is no RoboCop guy here. Thank you very much.
I'll buy that for $2.
On a side note, if you go on Twitter and you tweet, I'll buy that for a dollar.
I know.
There's a bot. I'm assuming it's a bot. It has to be, that will respond. It's got a picture of the I'd buy that for a dollar guy, and it says I'd buy that for a dollar. It's the funniest thing ever, and I actually favorited it, that quote.
Yeah, I blocked that account.
Are you serious? That is
after
awesome.
After about 10 tweets from the same thing, saying the same thing about every single thing I had done, I said, screw it, block.
Oh, how often do you say I'd buy that for a dollar?
No, it was a while
ago.
I've been
on Twitter like 3 years, and I've only said it once. kind of weird.
I just say in podcast form. I don't have to deal with that then.
So I guess let's get this show on the road, and we'll be moving on to today's episode.
Your proof definitely appears to be a fragment of the Allspark. Apparently, your story about dispersing it may not be so far-fetched after all.
Sir, you can't honestly believe that. He's a lying, insubordinate crankshaft.
He may be a little rough around the edges, but in the heat of battle, Optimus Prime exhibited the qualities of a true leader. Strategic thinking, determination, and above all, loyalty. Something you could stand to learn a thing or two about, Sentinel Prime?
First up today is the Elite Guard. With Isaac Sumdac missing, he was actually captured by Megatron at the last minute, Sari has a hard time running his business. The Cybertron Elite Guard, consisting of Ultra Magnus, Jazz, and Sentinel Prime, have arrived on Earth to locate the Allspark. It is eventually discovered that the Allspark wasn't destroyed, but dispersed throughout the city, where a shard of energy causes an assembly line to go out of control. Meanwhile, Megatron has Isaac begin to construct a space bridge so that his Decepticons can invade Cybertron. Following the aftermath, Sumdac Systems CEO Porter C. Powell reveals to Sari that there are no records of her birth or adoption, meaning that Sari can't prove herself to be the daughter of Isaac Sumdac, or that she even exists.
She's not alive!
Oh, what is that line? You know what this means? This means you no longer exist! I forget what the hell that's from, though.
Beast Wars, The Agenda?
That's right. That's right.
It's a Megatron line.
Do the line, Megatron.
And
you no longer exist!
Yeah, that's... See, I've got Beast Wars on the brain.
I guess so.
I make a comeback.
Powell can go to hell. It's not that he's a bad human character, and he plays more into the story of what's being developed. He's not just a one-off character, but just his whole demeanor, his whole attitude. This guy can just go fuck himself for all I care.
He can go fuck himself for all.
He's an evil businessman.
Yes.
He's a prick.
He's the Edward Dillinger of Transformers Animated.
Who's that?
Tron. Oh my god, are you serious?
I just slipped my mind there. Tron?
Yeah,
Edward Dillinger. I haven't seen Tron Legacy yet.
Oh wow.
That is so much better than the first one.
I've watched it.
I've watched it three times.
I like them on equal ground, but...
Anyhow.
Anyway, Jazz in the Elite Guard. Hell yeah, when I saw Jazz, I went nuts. That was awesome. Oh, hey, listen to that. It's a robot version of the Tick.
Spoon! You know, I never watched the Tick either. Sorry. I have no idea who the Tick is.
Well, let's let you know who the Tick is.
Let's go down memory lane.
That's right.
Spoon!
Take it like a real bot!
Yeah, so that's the robot version of the Tick. Sentinel's alt mode. A snowplow? Really? Lame.
Why is that lame? You know how much it snows in Michigan?
Okay, yeah, and I know how much it snows in Michigan, and I know how much it snows in Massachusetts, but I'm sorry. Lame character, lame vehicle mode.
Steve, tell them how much it snows in Michigan.
Oh, I know
how much it snows in Michigan.
It snows a lot.
I know.
You need, like, big-ass... Yeah. Big ass trucks.
I was just waiting for them to insert like a fake human driver into Sentinel that had a, you know, Mr. Plow jacket on or something like that.
Jackass.
Yeah, Homer Simpson driving Sentinel Prime with Mr. Plow.
And of course, again, and I know this is just, it's every time I hear it, I have to make this note, but. When Megatron, he's blasting. I don't think he's blasting Starscream. I don't think we've gotten that far yet, but it might be. The G1 fusion cannon noise, love it. Just love it.
Yeah.
That's it, Grimlock. Thrash Sentinel. I would so love it if Grimlock had thrashed Sentinel.
Me, Grimlock, kick butt.
Ninja Bot Jazz for the win. Oh my god, that was so great. That was awesome.
Yeah, Jazz is awesome. Jazz is awesome. The Jazz toy is awesome. Looks just like him in the cartoon. Yeah, I will take any Jazz repaints that they ever make. Period.
So will my buddy Bob Gilmer. He'll do it. He's a huge Jazz fan. I think Bob bought the Rodimus Cyclonus Transformers Universe 2-pack, the Battle in Space 2-pack. He took the Silver Matrix from that and put it on his Mighty Mugs Jazz. I was like, why do you want to burden Jazz with all that stuff? But anyway, Optimus Prime is a true leader, unlike Sentinel. He knows what the hell he's doing.
He's a trooper.
Yes. And of course, my last one here, there's no record for sorry at all. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. No, it's funny because the smarmy business guy steals the company from Sari, and she doesn't actually exist.
Yeah.
But, they brought this up in the last episode of the last season, where Sumdac says, I have something to tell you.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, not now, and runs off to do her own thing. And now you're kind of wishing that you'd taken the time to listen to him, because he probably would have told you, I got you out of a pumpkin patch, or, you came out of another dimension, or an egg fell out of the sky and you were in it. Or that stork thing.
I need to insert that somewhere, because, oh my god, if you look at Bumblebee and Bulkhead's clip of them guessing,
where he's wearing the glasses,
some of those guesses were actually right.
One of them was right on the money.
Right. Let's not even go
and they just
far
gloss over it. Well, maybe it's a stork thing. Yeah, it's a stork thing. All right.
My ass.
Well, it's funny because Sari already told Optimus where baby humans come from. So.
They come from Megatron's anus.
What?
I don't even know. I don't know what's wrong with Steve tonight.
They come from outer space, and that's way past your anus, buddy.
That's what she said.
I'm not sure if that's what you said. I don't know what you were going for there.
Yeah, they robot baby humans come from Megatron.
Yeah, okay.
Everything was reverse engineered, so you could technically say Megatron is mommy.
Ah, no. Okay, moving on. Steve, what did you have for the Elite Guard?
Well, I actually liked this episode. Yes, surprise.
There's nothing not to like.
Yes, now that season 2's come in, we have some new characters, new introductions. I have nothing to hate. I have some things to hate, as you'll hear this episode, but I love the look of Ultra Magnus. I wasn't too sure about how he kind of reigns over Prime, but I still liked his overall appearance.
I'll explain that later.
Yeah, well, it's a ranking difference in this show.
Yeah.
I like Prowl, and Phil Lamar does the most kick-ass, close, and jazz that imitation that could ever be done.
Now, I have to tell you guys, and I know...
No, and I know he went for his own thing, but right. He still had the vibe of Scatman in there.
Oh, yeah. Well, the funny thing is, when Lupus Convoy and I interviewed Phil, I specifically asked him, did they tell you to go for a Scatman type of feel, or did they want you to do your own thing? And he had said, do my own thing. And then I asked him, I said, if you did a Scatman jazz, what would he sound like? And he gave us an impression of what, and it's like Scatman just came out of the grave, because it was so dead on. I mean, he could so do a Scatman jazz. But I'm glad that they didn't have him do that. I'm glad that he has his own spin on it, and I absolutely love it. It's great.
I'd like to. I'm gonna have to go back and listen to that again.
Yes, yes.
I don't remember that part. But now would be a good time to remind people that we have an interview with the awesome
with Phil Lamar. Yeah,
on our site,
the one, the only.
We should link that from the page.
I will. I will. What else, Steve?
Well, as we've already stated about Spoon Man, I'm not a fan of him whatsoever.
of the voice actor or of Sentinel
Prime? Well, the voice actor you can't penalize for how he was told to portray a character. Being that he played Michelangelo in the past, I can't say anything bad. Although this character does strangely resemble the Tick in his head formation.
The giant chin.
Well, not only the giant chin, but if you look at it, he's got the little antennae and the blue mask around his face.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then the little, the thing around his eyes. So, I mean, the head is almost like a direct knockoff of the Tick, just in Transformer form.
Yeah, it's a robot version of the Tick. That's why I said it.
Well, yeah, and he's a complete ass and an idiot. And I'm glad Optimus Prime grew some gonads and stood up to him.
Oh, man, Optimus growing some gonads in this episode. Holy crap.
Yeah, Prime
See you try, you worthless crankshaft.
Prime has become a badass.
Yep. No, I think he just said that not because Prime's a badass, but because he knew that would goad Sentinel into attacking him so that he could cuff him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, nobody ever said that Sentinel was smart.
Yeah. Oh, no. Optimus... I mean, even later on, Optimus is kind of saying things under his breath, and I want to say, it was the next episode in the Return of the Headmaster. He's, walking away from Sentinel after Sentinel just barbed him, and he's like, yeah, that's what I should have said,
Yeah, that's funny.
That's what I should have did.
Pompous windbag. No, seriously, he says pompous something or other. I forget what it is, though.
He's like, well, that's what I should have said, So it's not like, it's not as if he is really stepping up to the plate here and saying, all right, Sentinel, I'm going to kick your ass, but he's getting there.
Yeah, he's trying to work up the courage. Throughout these first three episodes of season two, with the fact that you have Sentinel here now, and Optimus is basically a teacher to the elite guard, that he has to prove everything to them about their story of the Allspark dispersing, about the Decepticons being there, and every time he goes and shows all these leadership qualities, Ultra Magnus even says it. He exhibited the qualities of a good, leader type character. So Optimus is coming into his own. Because of the fact that he's been on Earth and he's had all these experiences that had happened in season one.
Right.
It's kind of like, for those people who are superhero fans, look at Superman in Justice League Season 1. He gets hit every 5 friggin' seconds, the guy does. Look at Superman in Justice League Season 2. He's not being as douchebaggery getting hit every 5 seconds as he was in Season 1. So, I mean, it's not a complete turnaround, but they're more so giving the stupid character qualities and the immature character qualities to Sentinel now.
Right. Well, I mean, like we said in the very beginning, Ultra Magnus says it himself, hero is not in your programming. And slowly over the course of season one, he proves that he is a hero, first against the human bad guys, and then against the actual Decepticons.
Yeah.
And now that he's actually had a chance to prove himself, hey, I'm a leader, well, the real leaders come along and say, are you sure you're leading?
Did you guys notice the ship design?
Yep.
Very reminiscent of the 1986 movie.
Yeah.
Except it's blue.
But it's still very, very similar.
I thought that ship looked kind of just like a blue version of what they already have. And in my mind, I'm thinking Omega Sentinel.
Yeah,
which is always a blue and silver repaint of Omega Supreme.
Right. I'm sure that's what they were going for, but It's multiples, I would say. I mean, it could be both on both levels. It could be the G1 shuttle, and it also could be Omega Sentinel as well, as far as homages.
One other thing that I have is the in terms of the ranks.
Mm-hmm.
I can see why Prime is a rank. I don't see why Magnus is, because technically that makes Ultra Magnus's name Ultra.
I think Ultra is the rank.
No, Magnus is the rank. Magnus is the
rank.
Oh, really? I thought Ultra.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it'd be like Ultra Optimus.
I wasn't gonna
see, and this is the thing that I don't get is why they made Magnus the rank when technically Magnus would sound better as his name, whereas you could have Ultra Optimus or Ultra Sentinel or, you know, Ultra Magnus.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. Whereas, I mean, even though it doesn't sound altogether that great, but it's still better than what they came up with in terms of that.
I wasn't going to, I mean, we've kind of already covered it, but I wasn't going to cover this until we got to responding to the Cybertronian correspondence, but I wrote down the rankings. In the Transformers Animated Universe, you have Minor, Major, Prime, and Magnus. And Magnus is basically Supreme Leader type, I guess. I mean,
there's got to be something between Prime
and
Magnus. Well,
you have Rodimus Major, too, and that's just below Prime, so.
Well, Rodimus everybody knows Rodimus shows up eventually, so it's not a spoiler for Kevin to talk about Rodimus. But Minor and Major come into play in Season 3 with Sentinel in flashbacks. Rodimus is Rodimus Prime in Season 3. He's not Major. He's not any other rank. The only reason why Rodimus has a different rank is on the actual toy, because that's just the way Hasbro named the damn toy. They named the toy Rodimus Minor. I don't know why, but
it's before he got a promotion.
Yeah.
He was a desk jockey.
Yeah, right. Anything else, Steve?
No, I think that's it.
What about you, Michael, for Elite Guard?
I like this episode. I was really happy to see more characters. I was beginning to wonder if there was anything that we could really do with the characters that we had in Season 1. I mean, besides flesh out Grimlock, which by this point I was already tired of Grimlock. Like, you know, leave him on his island. Leave them alone, let them do their own thing for a while. But yeah, I like the way Jazz and Sentinel play off each other. It's kind of a good cop, bad cop kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you first notice this during the shower scene.
Yeah.
Sentinel is hosing down.
You, Tiny, move out from behind your big friend there.
That's right.
That's what she
from
said.
Behind us. Stop it. And, and then Jazz kind of shuts down the water and says, hey, you know, you got to cool it. But and Sentinel just proceeds to be the bad cop through the whole episode and is refusing to talk to anybody. Well, I shouldn't say that. He talks to people, but he doesn't listen to Prime when Prime makes suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in consequence, he ends up falling off an overpass. He ends up getting his ass handed to him by the Dinobots. There's more in further episodes, but these are the two main ones in this episode. And then on the other hand, you got Jazz, who's really cool, and not just because he's a ninja. Because he's cool. The quote I like is when Jazz says, "Classic Metallicato, 5 servos of Doom Attack."
But have you seen this one?
Yeah, that is just chock full of G1 references right there.
Oh, and yeah.
That one line is just pure G1 goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's neat to see Jazz and Prowl comparing their ninja skills.
Yeah, I really like that. That's really awesome. I like the way that they've done that. And I will continue to like that storyline between the two of them.
Yeah, it progresses. Yeah, we really get into Prowl's background and how Jazz can help him and how they complement each other. Jazz says, "Traffic lights? Solid."
Yeah.
It's the light show on the way to the Sumdac warehouse.
Yeah.
That was funny. You know, it took me 2 viewings of this episode to realize that Lugnut spent the entire episode holding his own arm.
Good.
Did you notice that?
Yes.
Because at the beginning, his arm falls off.
Yeah.
And he's literally holding his arm in his hand the whole time. And I think, okay, here's the Decepticons again. Let's take a look at Lug. Yeah, he's holding his arm. Nobody bothers to fix his arm.
Now, did you watch any of these episodes with Aiden?
Huh?
Did you watch any of these episodes with Aiden?
Yes. Actually, you know, I watched these all with Aiden, and then I went through and watched them again and took notes, you know, so that I can't really do a podcast cold. Just off the top of my head, there wouldn't be a whole lot there. No. You know, I got to write stuff down.
Yeah.
Or I won't remember. But yeah, Aiden enjoyed it. He likes it. Lastly, Ultra Magnus has the Hammer of Thor.
Yeah.
He can cast lightning bolt.
Yep.
Surprised he doesn't swing it around his head so he can fly. Molinier. So we've got a name for the hammer now. It's called Molinier.
Oh, wow.
Molinier, to me.
That's so wrong.
Unless we can figure out a Cybertronian name for Molinier. Molinierus. Molinieranus.
Stop it. Stop it.
Just brainstorming just here.
You know, hammer that ass. By the power. Oh, never mind.
To me,
I swear. Uranus. The only Uranus joke I keep thinking of is the end of the planet song when Wacko says, "You forgot Uranus." And then.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Yeah, Elite Guard. Even though I said in episode 5, when we talked about the Megatron Rising 2-parter, Elite Guard is a really, really great way to start season 2. I still kind of wish. I mean, we still get the fact that the Decepticons have been defeated. That we get those scenes and all that, but I still kind of wish Megatron Rising Part 2 was season 1 of season, or not, was episode 1 of season 2. Just because I just felt that season 1 had no real cliffhanger. But no, Elite Guard as a first episode was really, really great.
Yeah, it's agreed. Excellent.
The new occupant will be arriving soon to start setting up his R&D facilities.
You! That's right, Lamer! The master man with the master plan is back! Whoa, hey, check it! Major cribbage!
It's mine. It's all mine!
You can't have hired that guy back! He's crazy!
That, thankfully, is no longer your concern.
Sorry.
I was
just looking at a picture of Sentinel Prime's head, and I just, yeah, it made me giggle. Sorry.
Up next is the return of the Headmaster. With Sari evicted from Sumdac Tower, Porter C. Powell rehires Henry Masterson, a.k.a. the Headmaster, to help run Sumdac systems. Henry then decides to test his Headmaster on one of the new Elite Guard bots. Setting his eye on Sentinel Prime, he fakes a Decepticon sighting and takes over Sentinel's body, forcing Optimus and Sentinel to team up to get Sentinel's body back without Ultra Magnus finding out. Meanwhile, Bumblebee and Bulkhead try to be supportive to Sari. One of the greatest things about this episode is Fanzone. This is why I hate machines, especially arrogant ones. Because, like, that's just, because he said that to Sentinel. It was just awesome. Anytime anybody talks back to Sentinel, I like it. Looks like Sentinel is just ahead now.
He's ahead of his time.
Yes. The whole subplot with Bumblebee and Bulkhead being Sari's keepers, I didn't really care for that. I thought that was kind of weird. It was just not something that really, really interested me too well. Would you prefer I use your head as a shield? Oh, that's not a bad idea, actually. And as we said earlier, some of Bumblebee and Bulkhead's guesses are correct. You ripped my arm off! It was trying to jam shield spikes in my face. I found this one to be a lot funnier than the original Headmaster, just because it is Sentinel, and just because I cannot stand the character of Sentinel. And just because of all the quips that Optimus gets in once Sentinel loses his head was just awesome. What about you, Steve?
I hate this episode. I do agree that it is better than the previous Headmaster one, because Sentinel's getting the blunt of every misfortune.
Right.
But I greatly dislike any time that Headmaster shows up, because, one, the character annoys the shit out of me. Like, it's just one of the most useless characters that I can think of.
Well, I said something to Kevin on Skype, the Cybertronian correspondent. He was watching the episodes, and he was typing to me on Skype. And he was saying the same thing, and he'll probably say the same thing in his clip later. I pointed out to him, well, Headmaster comes back one more time later in season 3. And he's like, don't tell me when characters come back. I said, dude, telling you when a character comes back is not a friggin' spoiler. It's not like I sat there and said, Headmaster comes back and he takes over Professor Princess's body. You know what I mean? It's not like I gave away a plot point. I just said a character comes back, so...
Powdered sugar! No!
Shut up! anything else on Headmaster? Return of the Headmaster, Steve? Or are you just done with this one?
I'm done with this one.
Michael?
Okay, then. I like how Masterson comes in and just totally steals Sari's pink bedroom. And he's so happy. What?
Nothing. Bad thoughts. Anyways.
I want to be a little girl.
I guess so. Oh, that was from Masterton. Yeah, sorry. But no, he moves in. He's just totally happy about it. He's like, yeah, pink bedroom. I don't know. I mean, it kind of makes sense since he runs around in this kind of fuchsia jumpsuit.
He's Professor Princess version 2.0. Or technically one of those 80s throwbacks.
Powdered sugar! No! Anyway, some time must have passed since the last episode, since the repairs to some tech tower are now already complete.
Right, yeah.
The last episode, there was like a huge gaping hole in it, and now it's all fixed.
Yeah.
But, and this is what confused me. Well, I shouldn't say confused me, it's just an error, I guess. But it's clear that there's some time has passed. But later on, Sentinel says, I didn't arrive on this planet yesterday. And Prime says, actually, you did. So it's like, wow. You know, they cracked the whip on the union laborers and had them fix that tower quick. Either that or they turned the whole thing 50 degrees so that you can't see the damage part.
Probably.
I didn't see them do that, but it's entirely possible. I like that they now have a huge screen TV.
Yeah.
In the Autobot headquarters. He says, oh, we fixed up the place so that you'll like it. This giant TV. And I'm thinking, yeah, I could learn to live that. I could learn
they,
to live
that. They don't just have one. They have two. Because there's one right. In Sari's room as well.
And the one in Sari's room, it plays death metal.
I know.
I'm like, dude, this is awesome. I would totally live here. Where do I sign up?
Exactly.
Giant TVs blasting out death metal. Yeah. I mean, assuming you could turn it off and get some sleep, that'd be nice. I like when Prime laughs at Sentinel's head.
Yeah.
You just cracks up.
You weren't gonna laugh.
That's right. He totally loses it. But it's funny because it's the first time we've heard Prime laugh.
Yeah.
I think it might be the first time we've heard anyone really laugh. I mean, not like, ha ha, but I mean, he just totally guffaws at him. I just thought that was really funny.
He starts raffling.
Raffle. he's a Raffle Prime. I like the lightsaber sounds when Sentinel swings the sword. Or he's got kind of like a jousting rod almost. That's a sword, but when he swings it, it's like roam, roam. I mean, if I had a giant glowing sword, I would totally make the lightsaber sounds while I was swinging it around.
Yep.
Take that, bad guy. Wrong, wrong. Sari moves in, and she has nothing to eat. So Bulkhead and Bumblebee serve her up some acorns and some motor oil, a live rabbit, and fish a dead bones. Fish.
Yeah, dead fish bones.
A dead fish, yeah. And the rabbit hops away. The rabbit's like, "You're not gonna eat me? All right, I'm out of here." He hops off.
I got Easter eggs to make. Damn it!
This is not Slim Jim. You're not gonna say, "Eat me."
Eat me.
Step into a Slim Jim.
Eat me. I don't think she ate at all.
No, I don't think she did either.
Well, that's why I've never been able to eat. I'm a freaking robot.
She does eat, damn it. She just doesn't eat this episode.
I eat bananas.
She can't. I'm going to Taco Bell. You know that.
I eat acorn sandwiches.
Acorns and motor oil. Mm-mm. You gotta dip them in the motor oil so they go down, you know, because they're tough. It's all about the roughage, people. You know that Optimus Prime enjoys pummeling Sentinel's body. He's just, "Hey, you're enjoying that." He's like, "Heck yeah, I am." It's like maintenance spot. "Yeah, you're a pompous windbag, and now I'm beating the crap out of you. How you like them apples?"
Oh my god.
I like Tutorbot, intergalactic ninja of death.
Yeah.
He's like, "Who programmed Tutorbot to do backflips and shoot lasers and whatever else he was doing? That's pretty crazy." I have a newfound respect for Tutorbot. And K9. Or Sparkplug.
Sparkplug.
"Yes, mistress." Yeah, and lastly, Prime actually does cover for Sentinel.
Yes, he does.
He doesn't let him take the fall for that. Such a nice guy.
Well, yeah. I mean,
Sentinel's still a dick.
He's less of a dick now. I mean, at least now they kind of make up. They shake hands. They have a mutual respect for each other now, kind of.
Which that mutual respect will be thrown out the window later.
Because Sentinel's an asshat.
No, it's not even because of that. It's because of something else, but...
I was going to say, how much later? I don't think it's the next episode.
No, much later.
Oh, because of the next episode...
All the friendship type of truce character development that's in these episodes with the two of them...
Yeah.
...gets thrown out when something gets... revealed the Sentinel later on
spoiler, you know. Stop it.
Super freak.
But no, so there's that. But I like the next episode, he's actually helping him. It's like, "Hey, you know, you scratched my back, let me scratch yours." But the re-scratching is more like, "Screw over all your friends and I'll help you out." We'll get to that later.
Yes. Anything else for Return of the Headmaster?
That's all I got. Aside from the fact that I might be the only one here that likes Henry Masterson.
I mean, boo on you, sir.
Well, I like the gamer speak, you know?
I like him when he comes back in Season 3 just because it's hilarious as all hell. But
he says, "I am so elite." And, you know, if you know what elite is, right? It's not even spelled with, like, letters. It's right. And Prime's like, "I don't even know what that means." You know? It's like 95% of the people watching this show right now have no idea what that means.
Yeah.
It's just funny.
Only one problem with that story. Where are the Decepticons?
This day couldn't possibly get any worse! I stand corrected.
Starscream!
Sorry, you must have me confused with some other Harrier jet.
Optimus Prime, you are under arrest for assaulting an elite guard officer. Add that to the other charges against you, and you could just kiss your career goodbye. Now, what do you have to say for yourself?
Incoming!
What is that thing?
Oh, that's right. You've never seen one up close. It's called a Decepticon.
Oh no, not again.
He's online. Stand back, everyone. Commander!
At least this won't be a total loss.
Magnus is down, and the Decepticon's getting away. What's our next move, Sentinel?
Right. Okay,
Rantic, you and Sari take care of Ultra Magnus. Bumblebee, Prowl, Bulkhead, and Fenzone, evacuate the humans from the area. Sentinel and Jazz, we'll take down Starscream.
Stand down, Optimus. You've got no right to assume command.
Yeah? Well, some bot has to.
Hey, how about we sort out the whole head honcho deal later? Right now, we need to stop fighting each other and start fighting the bad guy, dude.
And finally up today is mission accomplished. Unaware of what Megatron is up to, the Elite Guard begin the removal of Optimus Prime and the other Autobots by sending them back to Cybertron to deal with the Decepticon uprising. Yet things take a turn for the worse. Blitzwing and Lugnut steal the tachyon transmitter from the Elite Guard ship for Megatron as part of a way to contact other Decepticons. Meanwhile, Starscream regains consciousness on a garbage barge and returns to take his revenge on Megatron. Megatron kills him again and again and again and again and again. But a fragment of the AllSpark is embedded in Starscream's head is keeping him immortally alive. Then Starscream tries to entrap Megatron with another fragment of the AllSpark, which he puts on an electric train. But his attempt fails thanks to Optimus Prime and his team. I like that. Team Optimus, lovely. The episode ends with Starscream's arrest and imprisonment in the Autobots' spaceship. First thing for me, Ironhide.
Yay. Is he supposed to sound like Arlie Ermy?
Yeah, kinda, I bet.
Do not make me take a giant shit on you!
I will do it.
I will tear off your head and piss down your neck.
I thought his voice for what we saw of him. I mean, because it's not. We will get into Ironhide much later in season 3, but I mean, or later in season 2. I don't remember when Auto Boot Camp happens. But you know, I like seeing the character. I don't particularly care that he's orange, but
he's orange.
But I didn't mind it.
It was nice. And you know, it's nice that they, I don't want to say put further thought into the toy line, but it's nice that he kind of looks, well, they don't really show his body here, but later on he looks a lot like Ratchet, except with a different head. And right, then later on in the toy, you get
it's Cybertronian Ratchet's body with a new head.
In orange.
Yeah. Now, I gotta say, there are moments that is probably gonna come up here in season 2 where I'm gonna continue my Bumblebee hate. But for now, the douchebag of the Autobots is now Sentinel Prime, not Bumblebee anymore.
And the trade-off continues.
Starscream monologuing to no one. I thought that was hilarious.
But he just hops up and says, "All right," as if he's still like lording it over Megatron.
Yeah,
this is a good episode to see Starscream get his ass handed to him repeatedly.
Yeah, they actually. It's funny. I believe it's this episode and an episode coming up next week. Garbage in, garbage out. On the Transformers Animated Season 2 DVD, there is a commentary by Matt Youngberg, Marty Eisenberg, and Derek J. Wyatt. And in the Mission Accomplished DVD commentary, they specifically say, originally they were going to make Rodimus this type of character of the way Sentinel is. And they said, no, we cannot do that to Rodimus. So that's why Sentinel was used for this purpose, to be that douchebaggery type of Autobot. They say in the commentary it's the character you love to hate.
So they kind of made up a character to be mean to Prime.
Yeah, kind of. Is it just me, or does the entrance from the top that Starscream flies into remind anyone of the Autobot arc from G1?
No, it's just you.
The entrance from the top.
When Starscream comes back online. The fact that he
flies in through the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I see where you're getting at.
And then, of course, you know, we have the reference that Starscream makes. Would you prefer I was a ghost? So that's there you have the ghost of Starscream. And then, of course, immortal Starscream. He keeps getting slagged.
This is such an homage to, you know, the fact that I don't want to say every other continuity, but yeah, he gets killed and he's a ghost. They can't be killed again.
Yep.
Kind of immortal, he says. I can't be that offline. Your friend, he's not entirely dead.
Only partially.
He's only mostly dead.
Optimus has a real attitude in this one. And awesome moves. Sentinel just can't hack it. and I understand Sentinel Prime is an Autobot that he's basically a bureaucrat. He has never seen any action. He doesn't even know what a Decepticon looks like. So I can understand Optimus being able to take him down.
Right. Yeah, Sentinel freezes up like a crankshaft in December.
Yeah.
And Prime is like all about taking charge. I know what to do. Watch me go.
Yep.
You know, dog, this is how I do.
God, stop it.
That's how I roll.
One of the things I absolutely love about Sentinel, this is the only thing I really love about the character, because he is such a bad cop. He is a bad cop to the point where he takes away Bot's freedoms of speech with the mouth clamps.
Like on Starscream?
Yeah, that was so hilarious.
I like the gag plate on the stasis cuffed Starscream. That is funny, because, you know, he's going to babble the whole time. He's like, shut up, Starscream.
Yep. It's hilarious. And finally, to conquer a broken Cybertron from within. Dun, dun, dun.
Can't wait.
Yeah. What about you, Steve? What did you have for Mission Accomplished?
Mission Accomplished. Well, I, you know, like you guys, I like the stasis cuffs. I like the steel plate over Starscream's big mouth. Which to me is hilarious.
They bolted it on there.
Yeah. They weren't gentle either.
Moving along.
So bad.
Yes.
So bad.
But yeah, I like this episode is another one of those kind of fun ones. But it's also showing that, you know, hey, we can clean house with the Decepticons, and then they're, like, coming to find out that it's not as easy as they thought. But it's still, I like this episode. I can't say that for the previous one, but I can say that for this one. It's just this has been an entertaining episode all the way through.
Oh yeah. Anything with this universe's Starscream is entertaining.
Every time he shows up, it's fun.
Yeah.
He keeps waking up in garbage bins. What? How did I get here?
Garbage!
Yeah, we'll get to that later. That's funny.
God, that reminds me. I have to so get some kind of Autobot, and I dare to be stupid, but that's next week. Anyway. anything else, Steve, for Mission Accomplished?
Negative.
Go ahead, Michael. What do you got?
I just like the action in this one. There's a lot of action.
Yeah, there was.
I mean, there's literally... Well, especially when you get to the point where they're fighting Starscream. And Starscream apparently just had his ass handed to him by Megatron. He falls out of the sky and, you know, wakes up again. I'm not dead. I feel happy. And at this point, all he wants to do is go home. Or wherever home is, back to his garbage bin. And just, you know, sulk. He's pissed. He's not happy. Nothing seems to be working for him. And all these Autobots are storming him. And they're, you know, running around him and trying to defeat him. And he's literally like, don't waste my time. You know, I'm just going to walk this way, guys. I'll see you in a bit. You know.
The only down point that I could ever say about Ultra Magnus is, oh my God, does he so state the obvious, look out, he's still online. Oh shit, Sherlock.
You do a horrible Ultra Magnus.
I wasn't trying to do Ultra Magnus. I was just doing a deep voice.
That's one of the things I like about Ultra Magnus too, is that he sounds just like Robert Stack.
Even though it's Jeff Bennett.
His pants are full.
It's Jeff Bennett doing a really good Robert Stack. Yeah, that's basically it. That's what I like most about Ultra Magnus. But you know, he's seen a Decepticon before. Because he's back from the Great War. He was leader then.
Yeah.
I mean, he might have even met Starscream before. He probably recognizes him. It's Megatron's second in command. I'm sure he recognizes him. And the first thing he does is get shot in the face. It's like, okay, I'm the only guy here who's really in charge and knows what to do, who's actually seen a Decepticon before, and I'm out of commission. Boom, he goes down.
Headshot.
It's exactly what it was, and it was just kind of disappointing. It's like, how fragile is this Magnus? You know, maybe Prime should take over. that comes later. That's not a spoiler, because I don't think he actually does take over.
No, he doesn't.
No, I mean, I kind of expected that to be like a season 4 development. But, I mean, granted.
Damn you, Hasbro and Cartoon Network!
I want to see Prime with a big-ass hammer. Prime holding Molinierness.
And having the Decepticons' head on a platter and smashing them. Boom, headshot. Boom, headshot. Execution.
Well, you know, if they all drove around in little headmaster units, then they could probably... Anyway. I think this was the episode where they tried to leave Sari with Fanzone.
Yes.
And that was maybe about 2 minutes worth of footage that probably could have been cut altogether. It was just a dumb idea. It's like, yeah, she's telling him, oh, I need an allowance, and I need to get that big ass TV out of my room at the lot or whatever.
I mean, I find Sari in general okay. I mean, she is an element of the show that is needed, but season one, it was all about her overusage of the key.
Yeah.
Season two, it's going to be about, and this is just me, you know, hypothesizing, but it's just the way that the story is unfolding to me is it's going to be about, oh my God, my so-called dad is missing. Where the hell am I going to do? Where the hell am I going to live? What the hell am I going to do? It's basically her whole story arc for this season is I'm homeless.
Yeah. It's like, you know, before I was carefree and running around and sticking my key into whatever toilet I could find. And now I'm kind of really concerned about my family. And, you know, she's not overusing the key because she's too busy trying to run a company or figure out where she's going to live or what she's going to eat. You know, it's just a complete different story for her. It's a different animal.
Sumdac Systems, please hold. Sumdac Systems, please hold. Sumdac Systems. No, Mr. Sumdac has not returned from his extended vacation yet. Of course someone's running the company. Someone very, very capable.
Very, very incapable. I was trying to think of a good pun, like a Bumble secretary or executive Bumble assistant or something.
And I actually couldn't come up with anything. He's a skelegatary. And
okay, that's not good either.
Well, people may not know that it's an Animaniacs reference because Wacko can never say secretary. He always called the secretary skelegatary. Wacko can't.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Lastly, moving right along. Lastly, stasis cuffs.
This joke is not for you. Move along.
Exactly. I don't really know what you're getting at. Can I go now? No, I really want stasis cuffs for my toys. They made them before. I want to say that it was like the Lucas Brothers and Unicron.com. I don't think it was like an iGear. I mean, by the time they made these, iGear was starting to make their own toys and stuff like that and accessories. But I'm pretty sure this is another one of those, maybe the last Unicron.com set that came out. But they had stasis cuffs and the electric arc things that you could, arches that you could put on Ratchet's arms. And they had something else. I forget what it was right offhand. But they also had the AllSpark container that you could open up, and there was like a blue orb inside. And it was really cool. I regret not buying one. I really should have. I'm thinking maybe I'll try to go find one or something now. But they had them, didn't get one. But now that I'm watching the cartoons again, it's like, man, I want stasis cuffs. I want to put stasis cuffs and a big mouth clamp on my Megatron, on my Starscream.
On your Black Arachnia.
We're going to put her on a big St. Andrew's cross. Give Bumblebee a paddle.
And a hammer.
Oh my god.
Hammer. All right.
Why is Steve's line from Beast Unleashed coming back to me? Shut up, bitch. I'm not done.
You said it, not me.
We're not going
at least, but I didn't bring up the other part to that, so I'm just saying, but that line in general, that's funny for Black Arachnia.
It goes down to hole.
That's not the only thing.
That's funny.
That's funny right there. I don't care who you are.
Oh, my God. So is that it for Mission Accomplished?
I think it's Mission Accomplished.
Mission accomplished, he said from the deck of a helicarrier.
We're going to head to some quotes, some ads, and then we're going to go to Cybertron with Optimus Solo. We basically booted him back up to Cybertron.
Go! Transformation Animation Podcast will be back after these messages.
Here is quote number one.
Isaac Sumdac's office, please hold. Isaac Sumdac's office, please hold. Isaac Sumdac's office, no. Professor Sumdac still hasn't returned from his extended vacation. Of course someone's running the company. Someone very capable.
Here's quote number two.
You sure that's necessary, Commander? I'd like to get a closer look.
You might feel different when the slime they spew out melts through your armor plating and rots your circuits from the inside.
Really?
And quote number three.
That's a direct order, Optimus. It's Optimus Prime. I may be an Elite Guard washout and a glitch detail flunky, but the last time I checked, you and I still have equal rank. So, Sentinel Prime, take your order and your condescending attitude and stick in your hard drive. You're on my turf now.
Finally, quote number four.
When are you gonna get it through your thick processor? There are no Decepticons on this planet, so keep your audio unit shut or I'll do it for you. I'd like to see you try, your worthless crankshaft. That's it!
in stasis lock? Well, somebody's got to stop Ultra Magnus from making a deadly mistake.
Soundwave, jam that transmission!
Rumble Frenzy, Ravage Rat Bat, eject, Operation Interference.
No, there will be no Operation Interference. I am TFG1 Mike, and you should be listening to my very first podcast, the TFG1 Podcast. 24 episodes covering the entire U.S. run of the 1984 Transformers cartoon. I also have a few supplemental episodes and an interview with Stan Bush. I bring in guest hosts who will be full-time co-hosts in Steve Megatron and fan of the show, now co-host Pecan Court Michael. So check out the TFG1 Podcast. You can find it on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Transform and roll out!
Welcome to my throne room, Future Tales. The Beast Unleashed podcast is over, not gone. You can hear more of this great podcast discussing all the episodes of Beast Wars and Beast Machines on GeekCastRadio.com. We include voice actor and writer interviews with stellar hosting by Steve, Mike, and Michael. Head on over to iTunes or the net, or else I will send you my vehicles to extract your spark and destroy you. Yes.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and AnimationAficionados.com.
I have been itching to give my new wheels a spin. Besides, any species that could come up with a sweet ride like this can't be all bad.
Hey guys, it's Optimus Solo, your Cybertronian correspondent, back on Cybertron and ready to open up Season 2 of Transformers Animated. So we can put all the crap that was Season 1 behind us and let's move on forward with a clear head to Season 2, starting with the first episode, Episode 17 overall, The Elite Guard, written by Rich Fogel. So Season 2, here we go. Immediately, we have the introduction of three new characters, or two new characters and one that we'd only seen in flashbacks, and that, of course, is Ultra Magnus, Jazz, and Sentinel Prime. I just gotta say, Ultra Magnus obviously is a great voice. We should all recognize that voice. Jazz, great voice. Couldn't come closer to Scatman if you wanted to. And the look of Ultra Magnus and the look of Jazz are fantastic. They look cool, they sound cool. I'm digging these two characters, especially Jazz. He is immediately rising to the top of my list as far as favorite characters go. Sentinel Prime, on the other hand, he's just not bold enough. He's got a terrible voice, he's got a terrible look with a humongous chin. He's immediately dropping to the bottom of my list of least favorite characters. I just don't even like the characterization of Sentinel Prime. The only good thing about Sentinel Prime's emergence is it's making Optimus that much more of a leader, that much more of a likable character, and now Sentinel Prime's taking on this young, immature, non-threatening, non-intimidating role. I mean, his voice actually makes Optimus Prime's voice sound deep and bold and threatening. It's so bad on Sentinel Prime. You got a sneak peek at Cybertron in this episode, and that looked badass. I was questioning when Megatron said that the Decepticons lost the Great War. Are we rewriting history here or something? Because I don't believe that's how it happened in any other universe as far as Transformers history goes. But whatever. Nitpicking on this episode, there's just a couple tiny things that I didn't like. First of all, when Sentinel Prime's has the line to Ultra Magnus, "As you know, I scanned, you know, Earth vehicles and whatever," and then they immediately transform into vehicles. It doesn't show any animation to show that they had scanned vehicles. It's just like, "Oh, I scanned some vehicles," and you're immediately able to transform into those vehicles. That was just way too easy. That's bad writing. And of course, we have another key moment where the key, not only are there keyholes anywhere and everywhere, but the key can actually break through force fields, people. And my last nitpick for this episode is the battle animation. The battle animation in this show sucks, period. I've mentioned that before. I don't want to beat a dead horse. Good ending. I like the ending of the show, of the episode. Overall, it's a decent episode. I am already getting hints that I'm not going to like where this Sari thing's going, though, with her not being a human or not being related to Sumdac. I'm not going to like how this ends, I can already tell. But I will keep an open mind, and hopefully I am wrong on that. So, decent episode, decent start to Season 2. I'm glad they opened with a bang with three new characters. I'll give this episode a 6 out of 10. So moving on to episode 2 of season 2, or 18 overall, and I don't even want to say the title, The Return of the Headmaster, written by Michael Ryan. So far, Michael Ryan is 0 for 3 in his writing. He has not written a decent episode yet. He wrote Home is Where the Spark is, the first Headmaster in this Headmaster episode, and I'm apparently not a big Michael Ryan fan. I don't even want to watch this episode. Halfway through, I wanted to shut it off and not watch anymore. This is a terrible episode. It's basically a terrible version of the already terrible first Headmaster's episode. Except now instead of Bulkhead losing his head, we have Sentinel Prime losing his head, and it's not nearly as funny as when Bulkhead lost his head. This is just a bad episode. I don't even want to talk about it. It gets a 2 out of 10. This is the second worst episode I've seen in this entire series. Moving on to episode 3 of season 2, or 19 overall, it's called Mission Accomplished, written by Marcia Griffin, who wrote the second part of Megatron Rising at the end of season 1. We get a sneak peek at Ironhide. That was kind of cool. He had an interesting look. You don't get to see a lot. Decent voice, kind of like G1-esque as far as his voice goes. That was a cool little tidbit. I liked Starscream's line here as, "I'm too young to be offline." That was funny. Starscream overall in this entire episode is funny with his whole immortality and the maybe I'm a ghost, and kind of go into that G1-esque storyline of Starscream has a spark that cannot be extinguished. That's kind of cool. I don't buy that he would have tried, you know, 3 or 4 times to do the exact same method with Megatron, and that each time they would have just thrown him off the cliff. They would have disassembled him. They would have done something to make sure he wasn't coming back, or something to try to destroy him in a different way. But it was still cool. It was a cool angle to go. Sentinel still sucks in this episode, even after his little thank you moment at the end of Return of Headmaster when he thanked Optimus Prime and swallowed his pride for a half second. He goes right back into being a douchebag. And let me explain something. I understand he is written to be a douchebag. I understand that he is supposed to be the jerk, the douchebag, whatever. It's still terrible. It's this terrible idea to have Sentinel Prime, who is a prime, be a complete douchebag. And I don't quite get the hierarchy here, that we have Ultra Magnus on top, and then we have Optimus and Sentinel, who are both supposedly on the same level because they're both primes. As Optimus Prime stated, they're on the same level. But Optimus is not part of the Elite Guard, so Sentinel outranks him. But Sentinel's like a 10-year-old. They're depicting him as like a teenager here, as far as his mentality and his maturity level. And I just don't like it. I don't like that they're doing that to a prime. I understand that that's how he's written. That's a bad idea to write him like that. They could have had a realistic, mature feud between those two. It could have involved the whole Alita 1 angle. Maybe they were blaming each other for that, or maybe Sentinel Prime blamed Optimus for that or something. I mean, there was a mature way that these two could have had a beef with each other, and they're just playing this completely wrong. Another couple questions. My only nitpicking about this episode, because overall I really enjoyed this episode, but when they're going to the train that has the piece of the Allspark, which, by the way, I love the angle with all the different shards of Allspark and them collecting it. That's a good plot storyline, which is something we have rarely seen in Transformers animated. But they're going after the train. Starscream's flying pretty low. Apparently nobody sees him. Ultra Magnus doesn't see him. Nobody sees that Starscream's right there. It seemed like it was pretty obvious that he was in there. And also, when they're at the base with Optimus and Sentinel, Starscream's picture's on the fucking screen right in front of them, and Sentinel's like, "Only one problem. We haven't seen any Decepticons." He's right on the screen in front of you, you moron. And then Sentinel gets put in a stasis lock, but magically gets out of the stasis lock to show up at the train scene. How did he get out of the stasis lock? Handcuffed, people. But it was overall, it was a great ending. I love Megatron calling out to the rebels that are destroying space bridges randomly throughout the galaxy there. It's setting this up to go in some very good angles. There's a lot of potential here. I can just hope and pray that they actually follow through with some of this potential of some epic storylines coming up. Marcia Griffin did a decent job. I almost gave this episode an 8 out of 10. I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10. So far, this is the best episode of Season 2, and hopefully it's a platform for this whole series to finally reach the levels that everyone says it does and that I expect it to, because up to this point, it is subpar. It's like a notch above the Unicron trilogy. So hopefully this is the springboard to great things for Transformers Animated. So this has been Optimus Solo reporting live from Cybertron, and now I'm sending it back to the guys on Earth.
Ooh, that sounds crazy! Even to me!
Now back to Transformation Animation Podcast.
Thank you, Kevin, and thank you, Blitzwing, because Blitzwing said something in response to Kevin that people will hear later. I had no notes to him for Elite Guard. What about you, Michael?
A couple things. He had mentioned that he thought Jazz sounded a lot like Scatman, and while there's similarities, it's not, again, it's not dead on, and we talked about this before, but you need to go back to the Phil Lamar interview to hear the actual Scatman.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I forgot about the sneak peek at Cybertron.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was cool. I mean, that was really cool. Yeah, I like that a lot.
Anything for Elite Guard to Kevin, Steve?
I agree with him.
Okay. As far as Return of the Headmaster, I know Kevin doesn't like it, and he thought that the first version was funnier with Bulkhead, but I'm sorry. This version with Optimus and Sentinel, the back and forth banter between the two of them, that's just a hell of a lot funnier to me than Bumblebee and Bulkhead. Maybe it's because I don't really care for Bumblebee and Bulkhead in season one.
Yeah. But
what about you, Michael, for
Take
Headmaster?
I thought this episode was twice as funny as when Bulkhead lost his head.
Yeah.
I mean, it was easily twice as funny. There was a... Pretty much any time you get Sentinel and Prime together bantering, it's funny. This is just gold. It's really well done. And, you know, I'm willing to forgive a human villain. It's like, it's a season two. Why are there human villains here? I don't dislike the human villains as much as everybody else, but I particularly like the Headmaster, though. I mean, again, it'd be nice if he wasn't pink, but you know, I still dig the character. I like the lead speak. I like the idea of him stealing people's heads and their, you know, and their heads just like, what happened, man? Don't laugh at me. I love that.
I promise you weren't going to laugh.
That's just funny, funny stuff.
Yeah. What about you, Steve, for Return of the Headmaster?
I pretty much agree with him on all fronts. And like I said, I hate this episode.
Did you like the first Headmaster better than this one?
No, I like this one better only because Sentinel gets beheaded and Prime has to carry around that little bitch.
Oh, Sentinel, I knew him well.
Dynafire.
Moving along to Mission Accomplished, Kevin brought up the fact of he thought that the Starscream repetitive death or repetitive tries on Megatron's life was kind of silly, that Starscream would never do that. This Starscream would. He would. And then I liked the repetitive death, you know, throwing over the cliff thing, because it shows you, I mean, until Starscream actually says it, oh my god, I'm immortal. Until he actually says he's immortal, you don't know what the hell is going on either. I mean, you just don't know. I just thought that was just hilariously funny. What about you, Michael, for Mission Accomplished?
Oh, one thing that I remembered, actually, that I didn't mention in the episode, is that Starscream tries over and over and over again to defeat Megatron. He goes back to the headquarters. He, you know, jumps in there and says, "Die, Megatron!" And he shoots him. And Megatron just kind of glances it off and then proceeds to beat his ass. And then he dies. And then they throw him over a cliff again. What it comes down to is he even realizes at the end, there's no way that I'm going to be able to defeat Megatron just by running up and shooting him.
Yeah.
And then what happens with Ultra Magnus? he just runs up and shoots him. And that's it. And I'm thinking, you know, how is it that the Decepticons lost the Great War when it's obvious that Megatron is 10 times more powerful than the Autobot leader? Mm. It just seems strange to me. I thought I was going to bring that up, and I forgot about it. But as far as in response to Kevin, he talked about the hierarchy. That, you know, you've got Prime. And Prime, in my mind, Prime is kind of the equivalent of captain. You're the captain of a ship. You get a ship and you have a crew. You're the captain. You're the Prime.
Yeah.
And then Magnus is kind of like the president. He's, you know, commander-in-chief, right?
Well... But, yeah, well, yeah, he is commander-in-chief, but I would also, like, in the military version of it, I would put him as a colonel.
Really? Well...
As far as rank? Yes, no, I fully understand that
Ultra later on Magnus, we do find out is, there's a civilian leadership that he reports to.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. Yes, Ultra Magnus is the full-on leader of the Autobots, just like Optimus Prime was back in G1. But in terms of the rankings of from minor, major, prime, and Magnus, I always saw Magnus as a more like a colonel type of.
Well, even in, and you know, being an American, I'm going to couch this in American terms. But even if the Magnus was considered like a president, he was commander in chief. The commander in chief still has to answer to the Senate before he can declare war. So there is a civilian leadership, governing body on Cybertron, and that's where we find Alpha Trion, and I think Perceptor, and those Trion types.
Perceptor, yeah.
Yeah, and we find sorry for the spoilers there, but hey, my question is, where are the lieutenants? Where are the generals? Where is the hierarchy between ship captain and president? I mean, there's got to be more of a hierarchy here. It can't just be, I'm Magnus and I directly command the 500,000 primes.
Well, and again, we're gonna get into spoilers here. So, Kevin, if you're fast forward for like 5 seconds here.
Well, he asked.
The thing of the rankings and what you're talking about, Michael, is. You have Ultra Magnus, you have Sentinel Prime, Optimus Prime, and then you have like someone like Jazz. Jazz is a lieutenant type, I would assume, just like Warpath and Ironhide and Rodimus and all these other Autobots that come in later in Season 3. The only ones I would see lower than minor...
I always thought that those were minors.
No.
Like Jazz... Jazz isn't higher up the food chain than Sentinel Prime.
No, that's what I'm saying. No, you have Ultra Magnus. Sentinel Prime is the cat, is kind of the cat second in command of the ship, and then you have Jazz. Jazz would be the lieutenant of the ship. So you have Ultra Magnus, Sentinel Prime as the captain, and then Jazz would be the lieutenant. See?
I don't know.
Okay, anyway.
Anyway, well, we can't answer that. You know who would be a good person to ask? Derek J. Wyatt.
Eventually.
Yeah, well, if we ever get around to talking to him, this is one of the things we'll have to ask.
Yes.
I'm sure he's been asked 1,000 times, and he just kind of looks blankly at people and says, you're thinking too much into this.
Yeah, true.
But, maybe he'll have – now that if he listens to this and he gets, some forewarning that will last, maybe he'll think up a nice answer before then.
The other thing I had to bring up in response to Kevin for just as a general note, he was saying about that this is just one notch higher than – that animated is just one notch higher in the Unicron trilogy. Sorry, dude. This is I don't care how many problems we find with animated. This is way above the goddamn Unicron trilogy. I mean, even in animated's bad moments, nothing is worse than the Unicron trilogy.
Yeah.
Steve, what did you have for mission accomplished in
Take
response
the lemons.
To
Yeah, I have to agree with what you just said, Mike. That was what I was thinking when I heard him spew that last part.
Yeah.
Spewage. I am elite. You're a spewage. Now, I have to agree. Now, I mean, this is... There is a huge difference in quality. Yeah, just quality. From a show that was created in the U.S. with U.S. voice actors. Well, you've actually got the voice actors doing their thing, and then the animation being written around it, you know, rather than the opposite way. You know, in Armada, you had a Japanese show that was very Japanese. The animation was Japanese. The dialogue was Japanese. The humor was all Japanese. A lot of that had to be rewritten to even make sense to American audiences, and everything was lost in the translation. Even then, it didn't make much sense. It was just painful to watch. I shouldn't say that so much. I could watch Armada. By the time you get into Energon, couldn't watch Energon.
Energon sucks.
So horribly bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just really bad. And, you know, it's nobody's fault, really. I mean, it's they did what they could with what they had. But when you compare, like, an Energon to a Beast Wars or a animated, or even a Prime for that matter, even though it's still a young show, huge difference, night and day.
Yeah. Very much so. Did you have anything else in response to Kevin for Mission Accomplished, Steve?
No.
Okay. Thank you for joining us here on Transformation Animation Podcast. There are some ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcasterradio.com. Leave comments on each episode post. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is TFA Podcast. Mine is TFG1 Mike. Michael, what is your Twitter?
PeconCT Michael.
And Steve?
BurntToast 2.0. No, SCP-21.
I thought he was going to say burnt-toothed.
As in, like...
Yeah.
I think that's what he said. Is that what you said?
I don't...
Toothed. I thought that was very, you know, Norwegian. Burnt-toothed.
Take it as you will.
Become a fan on Facebook. We have a hit over. We've got 251 fans on Facebook. Thank you to all the Facebook people who are fans on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcast or radio network.
Do we have a Facebook page for TFA Podcast?
No, it's just one page for the entire network. I'm not creating separate pages for each show. That would just take way too much time.
See, I thought there was.
No, there's a separate Twitter account.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. I'm in the middle of losing my voice here.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
You are boned, sir. This is kind of what you do, so, you know.
Shut up. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Transformation Animation Podcast, and wish you'll join us next time when we'll be reviewing three more episodes from Transformers Animated Season 2, those being Garbage In, Garbage Out, Velocity, Rye and Rise of the Constructicons.
Woohoo!
Are you looking forward to that one?
I am, yeah. Actually, Garbage In, Garbage Out is awesome. I saw that at the BotCon that, for what year was it, like 2008 or something?
Tell this story next week.
All right, fine.
Get your story straight and tell it next week.
All right.
For now, I am TFT1 Mike with
Michael Wilson.
And Steve Megatron Phillips.
We'll tap you again next week.
You're no fun.
Steve's no fun. I was waiting for that's what she said, but anyway.
What's the matter? You look like you've seen a ghost. Well, maybe you have.
Is that the best you could do, Starscream? And to think you actually believed you could take over as leader of the Decepticons. You couldn't lead a parade. Hmm.
make sure he's offline this time.
His spark chamber is empty. His life force has been extinguished.
Dump that piece of traitorous garbage where it belongs.
Doing down here? And why is my spark chamber empty? Maybe I really am a ghost. Or maybe something else is keeping me online. A piece of the Allspark. Indestructible, inextinguishable, which makes little old Starscream immortal. Prepare yourself, Megatron, you pompous scrap heap! For my vengeance will be swift and painful!